Michael Grange works for Sportsnet. He's in Mexico City right now, and he joins me on the line. Michael, thanks so much for this. So what can be gleaned from a pretty dominant win, but not unexpectedly so, from Canada over Cuba? But there were some key contributors who had breakout games.
Yeah, I think the way to look at that game, Ben, is how would Canada play if they could play the way they wanted to? And, you know, against Cuba, a team that's kind of new at this level, or, you know, haven't been at this level consistently since the 1970s, you knew that Canada was going to have an opportunity to dictate how the game was played. And now the question becomes, can they do that against more resistance, getting tonight against Venezuela? And what you saw was a team that wants to push the ball at every opportunity, that is going to, rebound in kind of a gang fashion, and is looking to start their offense from their defense. And to your point, I think, you know, one of the real interesting takeaways from that game was the way Andrew Wiggins came out, and without much fanfare, you know, he's not a demonstrative kind of guy, but he knew his performance and the team's performance against Argentina wasn't quite good enough. And, you know, in the first 8 minutes against Cuba, he demonstrated by doing the dirty work, right? By getting on the boards, blocking some shots, making some steals, that he was going to lead his team in his own way. And if he can take that kind of performance, that kind of attitude, sorry, I've got a helicopter overhead here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you. I can't even hear
never,
it. But
it's never boring in Mexico City.
Yeah.
City that, I don't know, the city that never sleeps, it's the city that never stops driving. It's a bustling, crazy place, man.
Yeah, but when you got 20 million people, I guess that's what happens.
Yeah, no, there's something going on all the time. But just to continue that thought, I think with Wiggins, I'm going to be really interested to see is, can he deliver that kind of focus and that kind of intensity over multiple quarters today? And if he does and he kind of gets into that mode, I think it bodes really well for Canada.
Talking to Michael Grange, his story on sportsnet.ca is titled Canada Displays Blueprint for Success Against Cuba. They absolutely annihilated them 101-59. But again, Cuba is not the player on the international stage that Canada is, or Argentina or Venezuela, for that matter. And reading some of the post-game stuff and reading your story, Mike, and the Wiggins storyline from yesterday's game, it seems like one is as old as time, at least in basketball, where he needs to attack the rim more. Like, we've never heard that before, whether it's DeMar DeRozan, whether it's whoever. And he was attacking the rim yesterday and doing a good job of that. And I guess it's just a matter of going back to the well. Was the loss against Argentina a wake-up call? Like, is it possible that this team was taking them too lightly, having beaten them in the Tuto Marchand Cup?
Well, it was interesting. I mean, Anthony Bennett said so. You know, he said, look, we kind of took it a bit for granted. We came out soft. And all of that said, I mean, they were only down three with 5 minutes left after Luis Scola had, you know, his career-best game in a FIBA competition. So it wasn't like they were overwhelmed or anything like that. But what was interesting, you know, was that at that pivotal point of the game with 5 minutes remaining, Canada wilted. You know, they turned the ball over. They settled for jump shots. And, you know, the game got away from them. So better to have that result in the first game. And I think what this young Canadian team is learning, as a lot of, I'm sure, Canadian basketball fans are learning, as they're really beginning to get attuned to the international game, is that these events, it's all your results carry forward. You know, it's not about qualifying for the next round and then, you know, quarterfinals, semifinals, on like that. It's, you know, the points you earn against the teams that advance into the next round with you out of your group all accumulate. And so, for example, Canada has 1 point from the loss from Argentina. That'll count. The 2 points against Cuba they earned won't count because Cuba's not going to advance. And so tonight and then tomorrow night against Puerto Rico, if you get those two wins, Canada goes into the next round already with 5 points. Now, that makes life a lot easier when you've got four games left to qualify for those semifinals. You don't want to go into a situation like that with 1 or 3 points if you split these next two games, and then you're really under the gun. You've probably got to win at least 3 out of 4, maybe 4 out of 4 to advance. So it's all about, you know, and I think for a Canadian team that's young and a little bit new to this, it's appreciating that first game out of the gate is realistically a playoff game that can affect whether you advance to the semifinals almost 2 weeks later.
What does a head coach do in a game like yesterday for a team that's still new, that's still learning how to play with each other? It's a blowout game, and it's a blowout almost from the opening tip. How and what did Jay Triano do with his team in almost a glorified scrimmage when you look at the final score?
Well, it was interesting. I mean, you know, the arena was fairly empty, so you could really hear exactly what he was coaching. And the Canadian team coached the 39th minute as hard as they coached the first minute. And, you know, defensively, it was about, you know, staying locked in. And Steve Bennett says, look, it's not that hard to lose your focus when your coaches are yelling at you every minute you're on the floor defensively. But offensively, I think what they were trying to do was, you know, a guy like Anthony Bennett or Andrew Wiggins or Nick Stauskas, most of the Canadian teams, they're going to have a mismatch on that first catch against a team like Cuba. And so it's kind of tempting to just attack that mismatch and boom, we score, go back and play D again. So what they were trying to do was kind of get to the second, third option in their offense. And yeah, you're using it like a scrimmage, but you're trying to kind of, this team needs every scrimmage, every practice it can get, because they really haven't got all that much time together. They've only had, you know, the three practices here before the tournament started. So building that continuity so that they have a second and third option they can use against a better defensive team that maybe it won't be tonight, maybe it won't be against Puerto Rico, but it could be against, you know, Mexico in front of a crazy home crowd, you know, in the second game of the next round.
How good is Venezuela? How much of a test will they pose today?
I think they're pretty good. They're better than, they're better than Cuba. They're undefeated so far in the group. They beat Puerto Rico last night quite handily. It's funny. Grievous Vasquez is kind of like the Venezuelan Steve Nash. He's not playing for them this summer. But they do have kind of a veteran group of players. They had four guys in double figures last night. And if people can remember back to 2013, it was a kind of a cast of these unknowns who beat Canada in the second round 2 years ago. And that really hampered their Canada's opportunity to advance to the World Championships. So, I think they're worth a healthy dose of respect. But if Canada comes and plays at the level they're capable of, it should not be a particularly close game. And I think it's going to be a great opportunity for Canada to kind of establish themselves in this tournament.
Talking to Michael Grange, he's in Mexico City for the FIBA Americas. Canada hammering Cuba 101-59 yesterday. They've got Venezuela tonight. And, Mike, so we've now seen a win and a loss out of this Canadian team, and we saw four wins at the Tuto Marchand Cup. And as I mentioned, we're getting a sense of what this team is because we haven't seen them a bunch together. Have you learned anything? Like, is there any opinions that can be formed through two games and through six if you include those four Tuto Marchand Cup games?
I have. I mean, I would say this. I'm more convinced than ever this is a really, really good team. And so the only doubt I have is can they kind of learn enough on the fly, pull it together day by day, game by game, video session by video session, so that they can really fire on all cylinders. And if this group does fire on all cylinders, they're very, very good. They're the best team in the competition, and they should advance to Rio. Some of the other things you're beginning to appreciate is how deep this team is. And one guy that's really jumped out to me, I've said it before, is Dwight Powell. He's a second round pick out of Stanford as a senior, kind of bounced around D League, Boston, got traded to Dallas. He sort of showed signs in each of those stops of being a capable NBA player. And from what I've seen here, he's going to be a really good one. I think he's going to be a fixture for Canada internationally for years to come. Just because he's big, he's athletic, he's quick, he's locked in. Phil Scrubb, there's been some questions about point guard behind Corey Joseph. I think Phil Scrubb has looked really good. He maybe just doesn't have that explosive athleticism anyone would love from that position, but he's physical, he's strong, he'll penetrate into contact, and is a much better passer than I think we realized having watched McCarlton all those years, being able to light it up, taking the ball himself.
Before we let you go, how many NBA scouts are down there? Like, is there a chance for somebody like a Phil Scrubb, somebody like a Dwight Powell? I know he was drafted second round, though, but and bounced around the D League. Is there a chance for somebody to jump onto somebody's NBA radar with a good performance in this tournament?
I don't know if that will happen because most of the guys who aren't on NBA, for Canada at least, that aren't, I mean, the NBA watches every tournament. So, yeah, they're here. Don't worry about that. But I think, you know, really it's not about for a guy like Phil Strub or I guess he'd be the main one right now you're thinking of to earn a try at the camp this summer. I mean, he's already got a contact in Greece. He's going to go, and his quest will be prove himself a really, really good player at the elite level of European basketball, and that'll be his route back to the NBA if he chooses to take it. But I think you're seeing a guy like Melvin Ijen, who does have, an NBA training camp tryout with the Orlando Magic. He's going to be watched closely, and I think he's proving step by step that he's a guy who can stick in the NBA too.